Gearing up. Got it. It's coming. Here we go. Done. Redirecting. Getting lined up. YouTube. What's going on, YouTube? Let's get this going here. Make sure it's working. Yep, we got that working now. On YouTube, our online Shabbat gathering is happening on YouTube now. Way to go. Good to see everybody here. And give me a second. We got the YouTube rocking now. Make sure my volume. All right, we're good. Missing the shout out. And we're good to go. We got people still coming in. We'll start, guys, in 30 seconds. 30 seconds, we're going live. 30 seconds, we're going live. Even though we're live, we're going really live in 30 seconds. Got some good stuff for y'all today. We're getting into the true scriptures. We've been jamming on
Sunni's plan to close down
translations. Incredible. Like the we just got through doing first and second Tashlich Nakim. That got completed yesterday. We now are finishing final review on the big one, which is that's going to be loaded on the platform, the digital platform, our digital collection. That's going to be, y'all ready for this? Bereshit, all of Genesis, 50 chapters going up on the digital platform. 50. So if I just got the review pack, and if you got background noise, guys, go ahead and hit your mute. Let me mute everybody. Y'all can come back on if y'all need to. All right, you can unmute yourselves if you need to. We'll be going in. All right, ready, set, go. Welcome. Shabbat shalom, everybody. We going
Shabbat
in
shalom.
on this Shabbat. Good to see you, Brother Luya. I'm excited to be able to be here with you as we prepare to finish up this year. This is the real ending of the year. And so we want to teach on that today. We want to teach on the proper preparation for three of the seven feasts. So Yahuwah has seven feasts every year that are commanded to be observed throughout all eternity. Not going to stop. So make sure y'all understand this is critical. What's coming up? They're commanded. So it's part of our discipline to make sure that we observe these feasts. And so this year, we're starting very early. Usually, we know we're like a week or somewhere between 3 days to a week because we got so much going on to promote the truth that we, and we expect everyone to be accountable, everybody to be responsible. Like, I can't make you have salvation. You can't make me have salvation. We got to be accountable to Yahuwah for our salvation. So it's important that we accept those responsibilities and we don't go stick our head in the mud and go, oh, I didn't know any better, Yahuwah. Yeah, it's right there in the scriptures for us to be able to see. And especially now we got the true scriptures coming on. All right. So, Lena, I see you coming up again on the screen. Did you give somebody your direct link? Because I see you coming in, trying to come in twice.
Yes, it's Amber.
Amber's coming in as Lena Park too. That is good. See our brother Elmer, Emily, Deontay, Jermaine in the building, Elizabeth, Keenan, Sister Sherry's up in here. Yamani, Ben, what's going on? Durant. Oh, we got Sylvia, Michelle, Robert, Joe, Ebony, Melanie, Lane, Heather. I see y'all. This is great. Now, we got an opportunity here. We can get a lot. This will be like one of the largest collectives that the kingdom of Yahuwah will watch properly observe his feast in his name without any outside influence from Judaism, without any outside influence of trying to drag you away from it, from Christianity, from Roman Catholicism. None of that's going on. Now, we've been teaching this and observing these for years, but we've not actually had an opportunity to have this much time to go, oh, we're going to prep. We're usually building this, pumping out material. But now everybody will be left without excuse because this is thousands of people are going to watch this video, the replay, thousands. And so all of you that are listening to us, Yahuwah is calling you to be obedient. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to read from the True Scriptures edition, which this one will be loaded as the second Tanakh book. So we're going to load up Bereshit on the digital collections platform. So you can pay for access to that, or if you are a package contributor, so if you at least have reached the bronze package level, you get free access to all of these. So each one we upload, you know, they're nominal. It's like $20, but that's $20, and you're thinking it's going to be at least 10 of those loaded. So that's an extra $200 you would not have to pay as long as you get to at least bronze package qualified. You get access to go look at these scriptures. This is ahead of them being released when it comes out in the hard book formula. So you get a head start on this and you get to learn. And everybody that's in there, we're getting nothing but incredible feedback. People going, now the scriptures really make sense to me. Everybody is so excited because all the contradictions are gone. Have y'all noticed that when you're reading the True Scriptures edition? Robert Renson, have you noticed it? You're like, oh, because you can pick up another version and go look at the True Scriptures, and then you can see what makes sense and what doesn't, right? And so that's what we're excited about. So I'm going into the True Scriptures today. And again, welcome everybody over on YouTube. You can come into the live if you want. I see there's over 50 people already on YouTube. Shabbat Shalom to everybody. Shabbat Shalom. If you want to come in the live, Lena, drop that link. If they want to come over here and participate, because we'll open this up after we do the teaching. So we're going to teach because everybody needs to pay attention. You should probably take notes today. This will be a good time to take notes because you can, your blessings, opportunity are getting ready to go to a whole new atmosphere if you pay attention, okay? So your blessings, because Yahuwah will bless you based on your obedience. So he wants us to be obedient. Now, here's some lessons that's going to be taught out of this. Get ready. Here's some lessons going to get taught. The calendar is a big deal. So the festivals makes us have to look at the real calendar. Makes us. So you can't observe the festivals and do it based upon the pagan Roman calendar. You can't do it right. You'd be all jacked up. So what I love about Shemot chapter 12 is it establishes exactly how we're supposed to keep time. I've done multiple trainings on this. Go back and look at the prior videos. You can just type in like calendar or new moon in the search bar, and you'll be able to go see the other ones that I've done that are just, you can't argue with them. They're just there. Okay, so Shemot, the real, I'm reading from the True Scriptures. Shemot chapter 12, I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm just going to work down. And we're going to handle a couple of the festivals. What you need to understand about the first three festivals, they happen 3 days in a row. They're consecutive. Bam, bam, bam. So you get involved in three festivals in 3 days. And one of them is going to go for a week. Okay? So that's going to be Matzah, which is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's going to go for a whole week. What precedes that is Pesach, the Passover. Why is Pesach so important? Let's read what Yahuwah has to say about it while he's also teaching us calendation. So here we go, Shemot chapter 12, verse 1. Yahuwah told Moshe and Aaron, Moshe's brother, which is Moses, while they were in the land of Matsri, so while they were in Egypt, saying, this new moon shall mark the beginning of months for you. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Can there be any mistake that Yahuwah is talking about how to keep the calendar there? So when Yahuwah says, this shall be the first month. So the first new moon is the what? It's the first month. That's new year coming up. Now, why is that important as of today? Lena, get ready because I want to talk. I want you to hit on this, Lena. Are you prepared to say anything, honey?
Yes.
I know you got a lot going on with messages, but watch. So, Lena, when it says, this new moon shall mark the beginning of months for you, it shall be the first month of the year for you. As it relates today, pagan month, March the 3rd, why is that scripture so important, what I'm reading now, Lena?
It's important because if we don't know exactly when the month start, then we're gonna be doing our feasts in the wrong dates. And Yahuwah was very specific when he talked to us on the details. I have learned on his teachings how detailed he is on everything, because the scriptures are pretty much a step by step in our lives. It's not just a story that people are telling. It's just like, what are we supposed to do in our daily basics? And knowing how important the feasts are for him and the outcoming of not celebrating his feast, how much that's going to affect our salvation. So when he says this is a law forever and we are not doing it in the right day, then we have a big problem.
Okay,
It's
so
like,
come with me. I want to focus on the actual calendation time now, honey. Today's March 3rd.
yes.
Okay, and on the real calendar, tell people where we're at. I want everybody to learn. Where are we at? Is
On
it as it relates to the year right now?
the real calendar, we are on our, today's March the 3rd. Today's our third Shabbat.
There's
So
Shabbat.
next third Shabbat, on the next Shabbat, that is going to be the last Shabbat.
So hold
That's
on, let me slow it down. Let me slow down. We're on the third Shabbat of the real 12th month. Everybody
correct.
catch that? So right now, in eternal time, this is the 12th month, and today is the third Shabbat of the 12th month. Go ahead, hon.
Correct. So we are in the third Shabbat of the 12th month, and next weekend, next pagan Sunday, is going to be our last Shabbat, fourth Shabbat of the real 12th month, and we're having the last day of the year.
Everybody
So
got that?
we're
So
ending a year.
what's happening is next Shabbat, so next Sunday, Pagan Day Sunday, that's going to be the last Shabbat of the month and the last Shabbat of the year. And it just so happens that's the final day of this year. Correct, Lena?
Correct. On Monday, on Pagan Monday, that is 11, March 11, we're starting our new year with a new moon day.
Everybody got that? So this is beautiful. Not this upcoming Pagan Day Monday. The following Monday, that's real New Year's Day. Not this crap they did on January 1st. That ain't real new. That ain't the new year.
And not celebrating at a midnight,
Right.
doing it at 12 o'clock at night. So we're doing the new year is starting in the morning.
Right.
Once the sun is coming out on the 11th, March 11th, that's our new moon day on the beginning of our new
All
year.
right, everybody got that. So we got new moon. The next new moon is the new year. So why is that important when it comes to this scripture? Now that you know that, now let me read the scripture and see how much life it has to you. Yahuwah told Moshe and Aaron while they were in the land of Matsri, that's where we get the word misery from, Egypt, saying, "This new moon shall mark the beginning of months for you. It shall be the first month of the year for you." That is a command then. That is a command when? Right now. So
Right.
right now, you got an opportunity to get in line with Yahuwah. See, look at that. Like Duran's over 1 to 144. I see your shirt, Duran. All right. Now watch. This is how beautiful this is. He goes, "It shall be the first month of the year for you. Speak to the assembly of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb for his family according to the size of his household." Now, pay attention. This lamb was literal for all the way up until Yahushua came. That had to be done all the years from the time they came out of Matsri all the way until they went into I should say, until Yahusha showed up. This is the deal. This is why they hate Yahusha so much, those that are in Jerusalem, in Israel now. They hate him because he showed up and took all this away. All these traditions, the old covenant was taken away. So pay attention. On the 10th day of this month, what day will that be, Lena, on the pagan calendar this year, this upcoming year?
Our Passover is going to
No. The 10th day.
The 10th day.
So from the new moon, it goes on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb for his family according. So on the 10th day, they were preparing for the Passover.
That's March 21st.
Y'all got that? So that's where they were, their minds. So right around that time, everybody here in the Promote the Truth community and those who call on Yahuwah throughout the world, on that real 10th day of that new moon, everybody's brain should get into literally thinking about that Yahuwah Mashiach. When he came as Yahusha, he was about 4 or 5 days out from getting slaughtered, okay? So everybody understand that. So here we go. If the household is too small for a whole lamb, then they must share it with their closest neighbor. Take into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance to what each person will eat. The lamb you choose shall be a one-year-old male without a blemish. Got it? So it cannot have a blemish. So it needs to be a perfect male lamb without a blemish. Very important here. So you can choose it from either the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of Yisrael shall slaughter it in the evening. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the beam of the door of the houses in which they are eating. That same night, watch this, fam. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted with fire. They shall eat it along with unleavened bread, that means bread without any yeast, and with bitter herbs. What's some bitter herbs, Lena? What's some examples of bitter herbs?
I can't remember the name of
like
that.
Thyme.
Yeah, the thyme, the rosemary, that's the name
basil.
Of it. Mint. And
mint,
basil,
right? Those are like some bitter herbs. Okay, now, verse 9 of chapter 12, Shemot, Exodus. Do not eat any of the lamb raw or boiled with water. It must be roasted with fire, with its head, legs, and internal organs. So that lamb is representing Yahushua when he was here. His whole body was intact, okay? Now, watch this. Do not eat any of it. No, I was just saying, do not let any of it remain until the morning. That's why you got to need to know about what you need to eat as far as lamb, is what he's saying. Don't let any of it remain till the morning. Any of it that is remaining in the morning, you are to burn it with fire. Burn it all up. Like Lena's got pictures and stuff of when we do lamb and all this. It's pretty cool. Verse 11, this is how you should eat it. You should be dressed with your shoes on your feet and your staff in your hand. You shall eat the meal in a hurry. It is Yahuwah's Passah. So what's going on here? He's about to deliver them out of Matsri, out of Egypt. That's it. They've been the para, the Pharaoh has been hard as heart. They done went through heck and high water. He's done sent one unbelievable miracle after the next, plague after the next. And the para, the Pharaoh wouldn't let the people go. But guess what? All of a sudden, Yahuwah said, go on, put that blood on your doorpost because something's getting ready to happen. Let's see what's going to happen. I will, verse 12, I will pass through the land of Matsuri that night and will slaughter all the firstborn children in the land of Matsuri, both humans and animals. I will execute judgment against all Elohim, sign name gods, of Matsuri. Then he ends by saying, I am Yahuwah. He's very important. He put a stamp on who's going to do this. I am Yahuwah. Verse 13, and the blood shall be your sign on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, this is Yahuwah talking, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will destroy you when I strike the land of Matsuri. How important is Yahusha and what he did when he was here? How critical is that? All right, very, very important that Yahusha represents this lamb and that blood. When Yahuwah is coming to execute judgment on all the earth, as he will again, when he sees the blood of the lamb, of Yahuwah Mashiach, when he sees that blood, he's going to pass over. And no plague will destroy you when I strike the land of Matsuri. Verse 14, this day shall be a memorial to you. Everybody pay attention. And you shall keep it as a feast to Yahuwah throughout all your generations. Pay attention. Last sentence here on this verse. This is a law forever. Are we still in forever?
Yeah.
That's what nobody can get around. Nobody can get around that. Them words there. This is a law forever. Not until some pagan Jesus comes and nails it to a cross that is all pagan. No. Yahuwah said, this is a law forever. So Yahuwah expects us to observe this, to acknowledge this, for how long?
Forever.
This don't stop. See, and we had to learn that. We had to come to that understanding. And ever since we came to that understanding, our lives are becoming more and more in order and in line, and your prayers start to get more and more answered. It's crazy. The breakthroughs start to happen like never before. Verse 15. Now he's going to get into the next festival while I'm reading here. He goes, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you must remove, everybody pay attention, you must remove leaven out of your house. So any yeast in our houses, Yahuwah is saying to us, get it out for these 7 days. So what Lena and I do, we literally go through the cabinets, and you'll be kind of amazed at how much stuff got yeast in it. And we got a couple big coolers, and we take that stuff, we stick it in coolers, and then we just place it outside the house, in the garage, or we'll take it to a store, we get it out the house during this time. Why? What's the leaven represent? Sin.
That's sin.
Right? Yahuwah wants us to be aware, I'm removing the sin from you. So I want you to keep noted. So these little basic things he asked us to do are just reminders to keep us on point in our walk with him. So he says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day, you must remove all leaven from your houses. Anyone who eats any leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Y'all hear that?
I have a question about all leaven. Is that also considering like baking powder and those kind of stuff?
Anything with yeast.
Anything that rises, in other
yeast.
Words, right?
Specifically yeast, not rises, yeast.
Okay.
Yeast. Okay. All right. So
and maybe one thing here, note. A lot of things, they change the names and the manufacturers and that kind of stuff. So make sure you use Google to make sure it's yeast that you're doing. And maybe try to don't buy too much stuff like the 2 weeks previous to the unleavened bread. That way you can consume most of the things and you don't have, there's things that even if you put them in coolers and everything, they're gonna go bad. That way you don't throw away things that you don't have to.
All right, here we go. So that person should be cut off from Israel if you eat leaven for this whole week. All right, 16. And on the first day and the seventh day, you are to have a set apart gathering. So you will notice that we at Promote the Truth will have online set apart gatherings on the first day and the seventh day of unleavened bread. Y'all, we'll send out the notifications.
Hey, brother. Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. It's pretty important. I think it's pretty important because it says on the first day you must clean. I've heard a lot of people saying they start cleaning before. What's your take on that? On the scripture,
we do it that we get up that morning and clean it out.
Yeah, exactly.
So when we wake up from the past, we start the Passover the next day. We right. wake up the next morning. Then, but now you can get it in order. You know, kind of line it up.
Exactly. Okay.
Go ahead and get it lined up. Maybe you want to do it 3 or 4 days beforehand, but don't pack it out until that first day to stay in line with what he's saying here.
Hallelujah.
Great exactly. question. All right, here we go. So on the first day, verse 16, and on the seventh day, you are to have a set apart gathering. No manner of work shall be done on those 2 days. Everybody get that? Just on those 2 days. So you can work all the rest of that week of unleavened bread, but on the first day and on the seventh day, which happens to be Shabbats anyway, so it's pretty cool. There's Shabbats anyway. So he's letting us know, no matter of work shall be done. Now, except, everybody pay attention, except for preparing the food you are to eat. Only that may be done by you. So it's a different kind of Shabbat, this festival. So you'll notice it's on a seventh-day Shabbat. All right? You know, this is on a seventh-day Shabbat, but you can cook your food that you need to eat on those Shabbats because those are what's called high Shabbats or festivals of Yahuwah. So you got a festival. Every time there's a festival, you're going to do something made by fire. We suggest, highly suggest, everybody barbecue it. Have some fire to what you are preparing. And I would have it be lamb if I were y'all. That's what I would have it be. So just follow as close as we can with what the scripture's saying. All right, I'm going in. Verse 17. We got somebody out here speaking Arabic, Lena, because it popped up and said they're translating this into Arabic. That's pretty cool. All right, verse 17. And you shall observe the festival of matzah, unleavened bread, because on this same day, why is this important? You're going to tell us why. I brought your massive regiments of people out of the land of Matsri. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations. This is a law forever.
What
does that mean, Lena?
It means that it haven't been wiped out. It haven't nailed to the stake. It haven't stopped. It's forever. So when he's telling us that we have to do, and that's what we was talking about, details, right? That there's so much details. If you read all these scriptures slow, and you, that's why I was taking the calendar. I was grabbing my phone. I have the YouTube in one side and everything in here, trying to get everything here. Just read every single date when he's telling you about like the 10 days. I think I said March 21st, but it's actually March 20, the 10 day when you get the, is March 20, the 10 day. And then the 15 days is going to be on the 24th as a Passover. So you want to make sure you know all these details. And then once you read every detail, it's not hard because it's like when you're learning something, And then it just get part of your life. You're just doing it, and it's forever. It's forever and for all generations. So it's our command to teach that to our kids the right way. That way it can keep passing the right way to all the generations.
That's how we change it. That's how we make it right. Now, watch how detailed Yahweh is. He's going to come back. He's going to do some confirmation here. Starting in verse 18, he's confirming everything. In the first new moon, on the 14th day of the new moon, starting in the evening until the evening of the 21st day of the first new moon, you shall eat unleavened bread. All right, so he's telling us there's something important happening starting in the evening of the 14th day. Verse 19, for 7 days, there shall be no leaven found in your houses. And anyone, whether a foreigner or a native born, that eats anything with leaven, that person shall be cut off from the assembly of Israel. That means anybody visiting you, you say, hey, man, if y'all gonna hang out with me this week, we ain't eating no leaven this week. So you want your sandwich? You know, y'all want turkey sandwich? You want some burgers? We're gonna eat them dinner for this week. We're gonna do some wraps or something. They don't have no leaven in it. All right. Now, 20. You shall eat nothing made with leaven. Y'all understand that Yahuwah keeps saying that over and over? He must be serious about that. Whether you live, wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread. Now, notice what he said there. What does that take away? People say, well, you got to do this in the land of Israel. You don't say that in the scriptures. In the scriptures, Yahuwah said, wherever you live, that's verse 20, you must eat unleavened bread. By the way, how many of y'all would like us to release this true scriptures and drop that out for all of y'all? Would y'all like us to release that?
Yes, please do.
Yeah, please do.
So within the next 24 hours, we're going to release this true scriptures out to the database. We're probably going to make it a download, a free download for everybody. This is cool. I'm sitting there reading. I thought it'd be cool.
Jake, a question. How literal should we take butchering a lamb? Should we do that by ourselves just buy the meat?
No, go buy the meat, because that's why I said pay attention. Yahusha became that lamb. So that was what was nailed to the stake. He was the lamb nailed to the stake. So we do as a commemorance to him, we will eat lamb to remember that. But we're not going to do no slaughtering. That's called a sacrifice. And that's been done away with. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep.
Gotcha.
If you don't eat meat.
What's that?
If you don't eat meat.
That's between you and Yahuwah.
What are you going to do?
Work it out. That's you and Yahuwah. We've been asked that every year. I said, hey, man, that's a personal thing between you and Yahuwah. All right. So I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep going. Here we go. Then Masha summoned, verse 21, all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select lambs for your families and do the slaughter for the Pesach. Take a bundle of hyssop branches and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. This is good. Then put the blood on the top of the door and on the two side posts of the door. None of you shall go outside of the doors of their houses until the morning, for Yahuwah will pass through to strike the Matzrim. That's the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the top of the door and on the two side posts, Yahuwah will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this occasion and these instructions for yourself and your descendants as a law forever. When you enter the land which Yahuwah will give you according to his promise, you shall observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? This is what we're dealing with. We're the children. You shall say, it is the Pasah, the Passover, sacrifice to Yahuwah, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Matsri, when he struck down the Matsri and saved our houses. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. And the children of Israel went and did so just as Yahuwah had commanded Moshe and Aaron. And at midnight, Yahuwah struck down all the firstborn in the land of Matsri, from the firstborn of Para, Pharaoh, that sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock as well. Para and all his servants got up in the night along with all the Matsrim, and there was a loud cry all throughout Matsri, Egypt. There was not a home from the Matsrim without someone dead in it. Think about that. There was not a home without someone dead in it. 31. And Para, Pharaoh, called for Moshe and Aaron during the night and said, rise up, leave my people, both you and the children of Israel. Go and serve as you have requested. Go and serve Yahuwah as you have requested. Take all of your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone. And also, please bless me. So now the one giving them all that hell, he going, look, take everything, but just before you go, please bless me. And the Matsrim urged the people to hurry up and leave the country. So all the Egyptians were like, y'all got to get out of here. We're going to all die if y'all stay here. For otherwise, they said, we are all going to die. Verse 34. So the people took their dough outside leaven in it, right? The people took their dough outside with leaven in it, and they carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The children of Israel, one second. While I'm teaching, I'm making notes. And the children of Israel, verse 35, did according to the instructions of Moshe. And they asked the Matsrim for articles of silver, gold, and clothing. Yahuwah gave the people favor in the sight of the Matsrim, so that they let them have whatever they asked for. Pay attention. And they plundered the Matsrim. That means they bankrupted the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 of them, not counting the children. Did y'all pick that up? 600,000 of them, not counting the children. A mixed multitude of other people also went out with them. It wasn't just them. It was the foreigner that was like in unison with them. They said, y'all going? We going. Along with droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. And they baked unleavened bread from the dough which they brought out of Matsri. It was not leavened because they were rushed out of Matsri and they did not have time to prepare any food for themselves. Now the time that the children of Israel lived in Matsri was 430 years. It's a lot of years, man. At the end of the 430 years to the very day, all the divisions of the people of Yahuwah left the land of Matsri. It is a night to be observed in thanks to Yahuwah for bringing them out of the land of Matsri. This is that night of Yahuwah. It is to be observed and remembered by all the children of Israel throughout all their generations. That's what we're doing. And Yahuwah said to Moshe and Aaron, this is a statute of the Pasah. Listen to this, Lena. Ready? No foreigner shall eat it. There you go.
Yep.
Anybody that ain't called on Yahuwah? They over at your house or whatever, they don't eat this with you. That's what Yahuwah is saying here. This is a statute of the Pesach, and no foreigner shall eat it. They must be those who have called on Yahuwah's name. Everybody take note of that. Should be taking notes on that. No foreigner or even hired servant may eat it. So if anybody's working for you, they help you, they can't eat it unless they've called on Yahuwah. It shall be eaten in one house. You do not take any of the flesh outside of the house and do not break any of its bones. All the assembly of Israel shall keep it. If a foreigner residing among you wants to celebrate the Pesach to Yahuwah, all the males of that house, of his household, must be circumcised. Then let them come near and partake in it like one that is a native born. But no uncircumcised male may eat it. Now, what that means now, because Shaul's talking about this, I'm about to release it in the new books that we've translated. This is where the circumcision and the uncircumcision. The circumcision now is, have you been circumcised in your heart? Meaning, have you called on Yahuwah? Have you repented and been circumcised in your heart and given your life to Yahuwah? So nobody eats of it unless they are circumcised in their heart. 49. The same law applies to both the native born and the foreigner residing among you. All the children of Israel did just as Yahuwah commanded Moshe and Aaron. And on that very day, Yahuwah brought the children of Israel out of the land of Matsri by their divisions. Verse 50, that's 51 verses there. Very strong. Now, I got to go over to Uriqua. Let me grab that. I got to go to Uriqua chapter 23, because now we want to teach what you need to be doing. Because now we gave the big, long, hardcore picture of what Yahuwah has done here. This is the most magnificent event outside of Yahushua coming, being healed, and then resurrected. So the only event bigger than this event is what he did in Matsri. And then you got the flood. But to bring that many people out the way he did it, and the style he did it, is the most magnificent event that's ever happened, again, outside of Yahushua coming and resurrecting. And so that's why we're stopping and making a big deal out of this. Y'all, what's going on? We got almost 80 people over on YouTube. How y'all feeling, YouTube? Is everybody getting this? Do y'all want to, hey, YouTube family, do y'all want us to release Shemot chapter 12, true scripture? Do y'all want us to release it to all the Promote the Truth Nation? Do y'all want it? I'm looking at the YouTube family too. Y'all talk to me over on YouTube. I want to also now, Lena, because we've already got Uriqua 23 is already on the free downloads. That's already on the free downloads, fam. So you should go download, go over to promotethetruth.com, click on True Scriptures Project, scroll down, and then you can see where you can do the free downloads. The free download of Uriqua, that's Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23, it goes through all seven festivals plus the Shabbat. All right? So I'm going to read. Let me go find it real quick, because I want to read it from the right. Where's my Uriqua at, Lena? Where's my Uriqua? All right, any feedback before I go into Uriqua? Anybody got anything to say that's on the Zoom before I go into Uriqua? Anybody? Y'all appreciate us going over this teaching, fam? Everybody here on Zoom, is this, are y'all like, all right, this is good. I want to be prepared.
Absolutely, yes. Thank Absolutely. You. The world needs yes. this, boy.
Yes.
Okay, this
is
good.
Just some questions about what to prepare in the amount, because I'm just on my own.
Really,
there are no other Yah followers around here.
Yeah.
So I can only prepare a very small amount. And
Correct.
Not the lamb.
Correct.
Should I eat a whole week only lamb, or can
no,
I
no, do just fish? go get you enough lamb for you to eat?
Yes. So what it says, Robert, what also it says there, and something that we need to do is You can, let's say you prepare something small, but let's say you didn't eat at all. You cannot save for the next days. You have to burn the bones and the leftovers of the meat before the date start the next day.
Yeah.
Got that? So whatever you eat, or if you don't eat at all, when you get up burn in the morning, first thing in the morning, go burn it.
Yep.
Pretty cool too. Our son Kyle gets into it. He's like, man, I can't wait to do the burn. Well, we get to have a big bonfire, burn this meat, burn the meat and the bones or whatever we don't eat. All right, and we're going to explain what to do next. So let me read this, and then we're going to give suggestions on what y'all should do to observe Pesach. We're going to tell y'all what we do, and maybe that will help you. We've been doing this for years, so we'll tell y'all what we do. All right, so I'm going to read chapter 23, and I want to deal with the I want to get right down to the Pesach. Verse 4, I'm going to go Uriqua 23. That's Leviticus 23, verse 4. These are the feasts and the appointed times of Yahuwah, set apart gatherings, which you are to proclaim at their appointed times. All right, how do we know when their appointed times is, by the way? Seeing this back to the calendar, what he say, oh, like Melanie, didn't he tell us in Genesis, Bereshit? Verse 14, chapter 1, that these two great lights are for what? Signs, appointed times, days, years. So that's why we know that we got to pay attention to the moon and the sun to keep time. Because Yahuwah says, these are the feast and appointed times of Yahuwah. Set apart gatherings, which you are to proclaim at their appointed times. Think about that. Yahuwah's telling us you can't do it whenever you want. You got to do it when I appoint it for you. Now, he's going to tell us, starting in verse 5, this is the appointment dates. Watch this in verse 5 of chapter 23, Leviticus. In the first new moon, on the 14th day of the new moon, between the evenings, is the Pesach to Yahuwah. That's the Passover. All right, so I'm going to slow it down so everybody gets it. What's considered the eve? Most people think the evening is the dark. It's not all the way to dark. The evening technically is the late, late afternoon. Why is this important? Has anybody done any research on about what time Yahushua was killed? Has anybody ever done any research on that? Because I have. Anybody want to offer up anything?
I know that he was taken down from the stake in the evening so that he would not. So all of the things that had to be done were done before Pesach.
So before the sun came up, mm-hmm. The next day, the 15th day, Yahushua had to be completely prepared and in the tomb. Do y'all realize that? All right, so now watch this. Between the evenings is the Pesach. The research shows that Yahushua was killed somewhere around 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon on the 14th day. So sometime around 3 or 4 o'clock on the 14th day is the best research we can locate when Yahushua was impaled. All right? So he's impaled. So what we do as a family is right around 3, 4 o'clock, we get into heavy preparation of the food. And then as the sun's going down, we're into cooking the lamb on the barbecue with fire. So we got the fire going with the barbecue. The sun's going down. The sun is going down. And then what we do, we know that now Yahushua is dead. Remember him back. He's now in that later on that evening. They come and took him off the stake because they had to prepare him. Now they beat the crap out of him. So his body was almost unrecognizable. So they had to do a lot of preparation. This also destroys when do you start a day. There's two times, there's only two occasions in all of the scriptures where you start an observance in the evening, the day, which would mean when the sun's setting. It's only two times, the Pesach and the Day of Atonement. That's it. So trying to tell people that a day begins in the evening is nonsense, because the scriptures are very important in telling us this. Now everybody pay attention. So 3 or 4 o'clock, Yahushua's killed. We start doing massive food preparation and getting ready for the barbecue. Now we're shutting down from all our work, and now we're into observing the Pesach. So on the 14th real day, what day is that, Lena, on the pagan calendar this month? Let everybody know. Y'all know this is exactly what we're going to be doing.
The Passover is going to be March 24 at evening.
So going into the late afternoon, now we get into the Pesach. This year, March 24th. Make notes. You should be doing your heavy food preparation, shoes on your feet, fully dressed, remembering back, because they were knowing they were having to get brought out. And then as the sun begins to go down, get that good barbecue going, get the fire going, and cook your lamb. We suggest lamb. Up to you. All right? Because we know he's been already prepared for the lamb for us. Now, what's beautiful about this is it says in verse 6 of Uruqua, on the 15th day of this same new moon is the Feast of Matzah to Yahuwah. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. So you notice that you're observing Passover and you're going to be observing Matzah at the same time. So Passover begins, right, on the 14th. You're eating unleavened bread with your Passover meal. You now do an actual observance of Passover when the sun comes up that next morning on the 25th of pagan calendar March. That starts the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Matzah. When we wake up in that morning, what we do is if we had any lamb left over from the next day, the first thing we do is we burn that lamb and then any bones. The next thing we do is we get the leaven out of our house. The next thing we do, Lena's pretty much already got it prepared. We take it all, we stick it in coolers, we get it out in the garage, we get it out the house, gone. Now we're observing the Feast of Matzah, and that also happens to be an actual Sabbath, which is cool. So it's going to be on a Sabbath day. Now watch what he says. On the first day of Matzah, you shall have a set apart gathering. You shall do no servile work. So you're not making any money. You're not buying or selling, just like you normally do on Shabbat. But watch what it says in verse 8. You shall bring an offering made by fire to Yahuwah for 7 days.
Every day, do some barbecue.
That's what we do.
7 days of barbecue.
All right, so what we do is we grill by fire that entire week. So every single day that week, Lena has got something ready to go on the barbecue. We have fire for that entire week, and we do not eat any bread with leaven in it or anything with leaven for an entire week. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and to be exactly with dates, we're talking about March 25th to April the 1st.
The March 25th, April the 1st is Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Correct. And even though it's Shabbat, you can cook, because he's telling us to prepare food by fire.
All right. So that's what you can do as far as any type of a work. You can cook your food. All right. So now watch what happens here. And you shall bring an offer made by fire for 7 days. And on the seventh day is another set apart gathering. You should do no servile work. And Yahuwah spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel. And by the way, you will see us having set apart gatherings. You can even go.
Your mic disconnected. One sec, everybody. I think this is very important. Yeah, and we
burning them up again.
Yes. Take notes about everything, and I think it's good to go back to the recording that is going to be on YouTube. Watch it again, and I'm taking notes of everything. And I think we're going to do a document too that you guys.
So, would y'all like for us to put up a Passover feast of unleavened bread and first fruits? Would y'all like to put a document out? All right, so we'll put a document out. And that's why we're starting now early. That way we can get some feedback from y'all.
Yes.
Okay, this is awesome. Okay, so now, watching verse 10, what Yahuwah says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I am giving you and shall reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before Yahuwah for your acceptance. The day after the Shabbat, the priest shall wave it. And on that day, when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a year-old male lamb without blemish as a burnt offering to Yahuwah. That's why Lena and I, we typically eat lamb then. And the grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour that's mixed with oil, and an offering made by fire as a sweet fragrance. And its drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin of wine. Now, pay attention, because when you start seeing the sacrificial things, that's what, when you see when Shaul's talking in Colossians chapter 2:14, this is the stuff Shaul's talking about that's nailed to the stake. All the sacrificial stuff. It's nailed to the stake. So that's why we'll put the document out, and we'll also give you scriptural references where you can have this all tight. You know, I've been on this, been following Yahuwah since 2007. So this is like second nature, what we're explaining. So I think it's great that we're growing when we get this communication out. And you shall not eat bread or roasted grain or fresh grain until the same day that you have brought an offering to Yahuwah. This is a law forever throughout your generation. So this is where we're getting into the first fruits. So the purpose here is to observe the first fruits. Why? Because Yahusha is the first to resurrect from the dead. So we've got Pesach, he slaughtered. We got Feast of Unleavened Bread. Get the leaven out. He took our sins away. Then we got Feast of First Fruits. He resurrected. And like, we have the hope of resurrection if we die in these bodies before he returns. So those first three festivals go ahead and set up the whole plan of salvation. And that's why Yahuwah wants us to observe them, so we keep to remembering, and this keeps us, our flesh intact, because our flesh will always be at war with the spirit of Yahuwah unless we discipline it. If you don't do those things that are keep your flesh in order, you're going to fall off track. And that's repeated by Shaul. I just got through doing first and second Kappa, was completed yesterday. So first and second Peter are now done. And Peter's talking about this stuff. He's nailing it down about how you got to keep your flesh intact. And so these festivals, for all of you that are new coming to Yahuwah, these are things that will help if you do the proper observance of them and you are obedient in your observance. You're going to love how you keep yourself in line, and it gives you the strength. And your children, once they get into this, all of you got kids, our son loves this stuff. Like, he can't wait for the festivals. He can't wait for Shabbats. It's a great thing for him. So, Lena, anything you want to add to this about what to do? Because I know that will make sure to clean it up on everything we've taught today.
Kind of like to do like a quick review. And after reading everything, I think you all can listen to what Yahuwah have commanded us. And he is specific on what he wants us to do. Like, even we said, we suggest to do lamb, or we do lamb, but Yahuwah is saying lamb, and he's saying by fire. and we know how they was doing it by fire then. So when you put a meat on an oven, that frequent, that smoke is not going out and it's not going up. So those little details that we need to listen when Yahuwah is speaking to us, instead of being of this earth, because this earth have manipulated a lot of things of believing on
preference. Lena, let me ask a quick question coming in over on the YouTube. Yes. From Rush. She says, you know, when we roast the meat for 7 days, do we eat it or just sacrifice? We're not sacrificing nothing. Yahusha did the sacrifice. We're doing a remembrance, an observance. So we eat, we grub, put some barbecue sauce on it. That's what I do. I mean, you having fun with this. This is a feast. This is a festival. Listen again. These are the feasts, the festivals of Yahuwah. These ain't the somber, oh, I'm gonna cry. We're supposed to celebrate. And that's what we do. We got music playing. Our sons over having dancing, having a good time. We having a barbecue every day.
Yes. It's a celebration. So on the Passover, like we said, around 3-4 o'clock, you start getting your stuff done in the kitchen. You know, you purchase everything. If you can't purchase everything the day before, if you're missing something for that cooking, you better get it in the morning. So get everything ready. You cannot go out after you start to purchase anything, because it's kind of like you're starting a Shabbat.
Hold on, babe. I'm gonna come back in because I got questions. I don't know if you're watching YouTube at all, Lena. I'm watching it.
Okay.
So, okay. Leslie said, my granddaughter, 6 years old, can she partake? If you have called on Yahuwah, and you as an adult are immersed and saved in Yahuwah, every child of yours is also saved in Yahuwah. Once they hit their accountability age, 20 is the age.
20 years old.
Not 18. Bamidbar tells you when the accountability age is 20. So when your son or your daughter hits 20, they now are accountable into Yahuwah. You should have taught them those ways. But as for me and my house and my children, until they reach 20, they're under my covering and Lena's covering. Does that help you, Sister Leslie? Keep going, Lena.
Correct. And we have another question here for Jen on YouTube. And she said, does he have to be lamb for 7 days? What we do lamb on the Passover. For the rest of the days, we mix up like chicken, we mix beef, we mix lamb.
It's buffalo.
Buffalo, yes.
Man, so if I got me some good old elk, I'm going to get some elk.
So we mix. So I hope this helped to Jen. So while we do that, make sure you get everything ready. You prepare your meal.
Pauline says grill or oven? Fire.
Fire.
Real. It's got to be fire. Like we're looking for 144 people and we're on the same page. I want Daniel to post some pictures of the barbecue, the fire going. And I love to have Robert with the same and Joe and Ebony and 144 of us. We had a barbecue for 7 days.
Yes.
I have a question.
Come on, yes, sis.
What about the broiler in your oven that uses fire? If it's gas grill, can you broil your meat?
What I think the purpose would be is something about, I think, I'm going to tell you, this is just my viewpoint from eldership. That smoke going up. Something about that smoke. So fire.
It is about the smoke.
You know, yeah, I think something about that smoke going up that Yahuwah loves and gives a great representation. But the key, again, is fire. So technically, you know, as long as it's fire, sis, you good. But if you want to feel that feeling, I would highly suggest you get that smoke going up. Just something about it I noticed.
I would just stay in the same
side. Oh, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Deontay!
When we done with the bones, we supposed to also, let's say you finish your meal, also burn the bones in the morning?
Dealing with the Passover only.
Okay.
Only the bones and any meat that's
left over. Only Passover only. And that's the morning of the 15th. First thing you get up.
Yes, that's going to be on the 25th. So on the 25th, you wake up really early and you get every leftover that you have. And you, that is completely on fire. And I think this gives us also a clue here, because when he's, you're not able to disappear these bones by other type of cooking, only by putting them in the fire. So when he's talking about bringing the meat on the lamp on fire, it's like that fire touching the meat in order to also do it with the bones. That's kind of like what I just got from that clue. So
you guess that, Melanie? Okay.
So that be ready. Remember your salad, like a salad with the herbs, the bitter herbs. We always use a lot of mint and rosemary. So and I think I have a recipe somewhere too there. So
y'all want to put a little recipe in there too. We can mix that in there. Hold on, I got another question over here. This is a funny one though. Where'd it go? Okay, Christy said, we have a dog, so rather than waste the food, can we give it to them? Okay, so now Yahuwah said, Christy, this is only regarding Passover, family. Pay attention. Passover meal. Whatever meat or bones is left over from that Passover meal that happened that evening of the 14th, that night, the 14th, you are to burn it, Yahuwah said.
Yes.
It's not wasting it. It's being obedient, because you're only dealing with that meal. So don't look at it as wasting, sis. Look at it as being obedient.
Yes. And I think, and that's what we keep talking about, details and the ways of Yahuwah. His ways are not our ways. Mm-hmm. And he's telling us what to do for his plan of salvation, for teaching us that if we're able to listen to those little details, we're going to be able to listen and be obedient on the big stuff. But if we're questioning little things, imagine what we're going to do with the big stuff he teaches.
That's correct, Elmer. Elmer says only on that 25th day of March. Yes, that morning, first thing, whatever you got left over from that lamb that evening before is when you were going to burn it up. You got to worry about any other day. I think more and more this document that Lena wants to put together with the team is going to be important. Y'all want that document? On? Robert, like, come on, man. Give me that document. That's the way we...
Hey, the Russian get you.
144 document. Passover and, 144 document.
Lena. And Durant said, I will buy a lamb without bones.
There you go.
Yeah. And if you have meat left over, you still have to burn the meat too, okay? So make sure we know that.
Filet mignon. Filet mignon and lamb. Come on.
So make sure you have your shoes on and that you eat with that speed, with that rush that Yahuwah is telling us to remember what they had to do in the times of coming out of the land of misery and waking up the next day. And I think it's important that these days, during these days, you know, we're not only gathering, but we talk to our kids, to our husbands and ourselves on all these amazing things for us to be right now able to celebrate that Yahuwah Mashiach did that to forgive our sins. So I think that's the most important thing, that while we're doing all this celebration, we're celebrating that. And then starting from the 25th, you burn the bones, the leftovers of any meat from that meal. Then you take all the leaven out of your house. You put it in whatever store you wanted to put, or in the garage, or in the backyard, whatever you think. Make sure animals don't get into your stuff. I know how it is in USA. And then prepare for another barbecue that day. Amber said here, if you don't have a grill, check out Facebook Marketplace. I found a grill for $25.
There you go.
just, you know, there's all different.
Thank you, Pauline.
You can do, and every day you're just going to be doing, and on that 25th, you're going to also going to have your first fruits. So you're going to have another, you remembering what's happening in, you know, with celebration of what Yahuwah Mashiach did for us.
He resurrected, like he came back from the dead. First fruits, that's a big deal.
Yes, yes. So, and then every day, just do your grilling. And even on the 1st of April, you're going to do your last grilling too. Even though it's a Shabbat, you're going to do a grilling there.
And we'll keep notifying it. We'll be updating everybody.
Yes.
You know, we're going to keep it rocking on here so everybody know what's going on. There's a lot happening that's coming up. You know, you got the true scriptures, the Brit Hadash. You know, our goals have it knocked out in the month of April. You know, and so pagan April. So, you know, we are rocking. We got, I think, Lena, for a fact, this is going to be the largest united gathering of people on the same page of the feast, I think, since Yahushua's resurrected.
Yes, I believe that. For gold trim, also on the questions on YouTube,
after the first push, when they had that first push, they was on the same page for a few years. Then they scattered. Yeah. Go ahead, babe. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. For gold trim, she said, do we rest fully dressed in our shoes? We're talking about the Passover meal. For your Passover, when you're eating that lamb that you put it in the fire, and then you're eating all that, you're fully dressed, wear your shoes on, and you're kind of eating it, kind of rushing, just kind of like you have the feeling they have in those times. But for the next day that is Shabbat, you can be whatever you want to be. You can be without shoes.
All right, Nikita said, what are the dates? All right, drop the link in, Lena. Everybody, we got a calendar for you. So you not only have to wonder about the dates, because if you go over to promotethetruth.com, you hover over appointed times. You click on the calendar of Yahuwah, just scroll to the bottom. There's a calendar there. Plus, we're now beginning to start work on the calendar app. Just so y'all know, we had this app almost done. And there's a couple partners with this company. Daniel Bacote, Kingdom Business. Thank you for the contribution, brother. Love me some Daniel. Like we had the calendar app almost done. We were so excited. Some partners got into it and then they skated off with our stuff. And we've tried to get a hold of them, can't. So we're going to we've already got a more secure relationship lined up to get this calendar app built out. That way, instead of everybody going to the page and scrolling down, you just download the app on your iPhone or on your Android, and you'll be able to see. And then we can do push notifications. So like when these things are coming up, we can give you reminders. You can get the push notifications on the app. Well, all y'all be excited about that? I would think so. That's part of the whole project. So part of the whole TSNT project, we got the app rocking. We got, we're working on the app for the true scriptures. We're going to start that process too. So a lot of those things happen. Any other things coming in, Lena?
So Duran is asking if they can work from the 26th through the 30th. You actually can work from the 26th to the 31st.
Got it.
The two Shabbats are the only ones that you don't work. And those two Shabbats are the 25th and the 1st of April.
All right. So this is a good question, Duran. So what happens is now on the 14th, getting into that late afternoon, go on, shut it down. Don't make no money. Right? Don't take no money. So you're not transacting business. Starting on the 14th, which is the day of, this the 14th day of the new moon, which on the pagan calendar, Roman calendar, is March the 24th. Correct, Lena? March the 24th is the 14th March, day of the new moon.
Correct. March right. 24th on the evening. Yes.
I'm not working on that day. I should say I'm not working, and I'm going to work all the way up. And then me, y'all see me around 3 or 4 o'clock, I'll stop transacting business. So I'll wake up that morning, we work to get our bones all burned up. As soon as all the burns and bones and stuff are burnt up, right? You know, that I should say,
no, going. No, no, no.
Let me back up. That day of the 24th, I wake up, I'm working all the way up, doing preparations, make sure all the food is bought. and I'm doing regular business stuff. But around 3 or 4 o'clock on the 24th of March, I shut it down, do no work. I do no work from that evening. Now on the 25th is the actual Sabbath. I'm not working at all, but we can cook because we got to bring that offering. I let that whole day go by.
Until dusk.
When that sun completely sets and we hit dusk. Dusk means there's no light and you can actually see stars. Now, the Passover is over. The Passover is over and the Sabbath is over. So in that evening, if I got to take care of some business or whatever, I'm going to handle some business on the, I should say, in the night of the 25th. If I got to handle some business, I'm going to handle some business on the night of the 25th. When I get up on the morning of the 26th, now I'm dealing with Feast of First Fruits. Guess what? You can work, but you want to celebrate it. But that day, you want to have that barbecue, have that offering made by fire. Is this helping anybody as I'm saying this, what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling y'all what I'm personally doing, which is keeping me in line with Yahuwah. I know I follow Yahuwah, and he's pleased with it. So I'm just telling y'all what I personally do, all right? So that Feast of First Fruits Day, every day, right? I'm going to observe, and by the way, there's no leaven in the house. So we've got rid of already all the leaven, and I'm not eating leaven. So I'm not stopping and grabbing a burger somewhere that's got leaven or whatever. If I want to eat a burger, I get me a wrap, the lettuce wrap burger, something like that. So hopefully that helps. Somebody said, what about if you're in school? I don't think school has anything to do with anything. You got to observe the festivals, even if you're in school. That means those times you got to tell the school, I'm observing when it's Sabbath time, you're doing Sabbath time.
Correct. And that's what we do with our school. And we have different friends that they have sent letters to the schools. They have talked to their teachers and they have told them that for Shabbats is their work for them. So they have to be at the house resting. And for the Passover, if they need to come out of the school earlier, you guys going to have to pick them up earlier to have them with you at the house in order to do the festival.
And let me lay into that before we wrap it up. Listen, we get a lot of questions regarding the school thing and kids. School education is not an excuse to disobey Yahuwah. Y'all going to have to make that decision. If you simply obey Yahuwah, he will provide you a way. It is against, in most countries, it's against the law to discriminate for purposes of race, religion, creed. You can't discriminate in most free countries. So we have people that are submitting letters. And Melanie, maybe you want to come up with something maybe as a template, Melanie, for everybody. You know, she's our education specialist in the kingdom of Yahuwah. She helps to educate our kid, right?
I can do that.
All right. So, Melanie, if you could do that and we could put a template over on the, would y'all like us to put a template on the Promote the Truth site? That's a template coming from a 40-year educator. Melanie, maybe you could comment on it just a little bit. How do you feel about what I'm saying, Melanie, in regards to the kingdom of Yahuwah and education for kids?
Well, being in the kingdom does not mean you don't have to educate your children. What you can't do is educate your children on the days that are forever we are to celebrate. So the template that I would put out there would be sort of like a letter that you would write to your boards of education or those people or schools, and they cannot keep you from bringing your children out of schools on those days. And I would go one step farther to say that if they insist on you doing homework or that sort of thing, okay, you know, you can do that, but not on the day itself. So, you know, makeup work is something that they will have to do, but don't do it on those days. So I will write I will make a template for a letter that you can write to your schools.
And your background, Melanie, just for the people who don't know about you?
I taught for 42 years. I retired in 2017, but the COVID-19 pandemic forced me back out of retirement to help children do things at home and help their children. So I am, that's my degree is in elementary K through 8. I was grandfathered into pre-K. So I know everything from pre-K. This book behind me is a book that I wrote to homeschooling parents. And you can get it on Amazon or Barnes and Noble. But I'm also certified as an inclusion specialist. I'm certified in math up through middle school. I'm certified in a lot of different things. I have a master's degree in curriculum and instruction, so I can actually write curriculum for you if you need that. So, you know, children are my life, and I still am doing children today. So I'm especially, you know, concerned about those who are Yahooan children, so that I can help you with that too. So
that's awesome. So Melanie, you know, going to be one of our teachers in our virtual retreat. Everybody put your seatbelt on for that, because she's going to break down in detail. She's got an international bestseller. How many countries did that book go bestseller in, Melanie?
It went bestseller in the United States, Canada, Great Britain. So that includes all of the countries in Great Britain. Yep. And Australia.
And Australia. So she's called on the name of avid follower of Yahuwah, is on the front line with us. Part of the team here at Promote the Truth. She does a phenomenal job. Y'all make sure y'all show her some love. Lane Brooks said, any advice? The same letter that probably Melanie's going to write in regards to the school teachers you can use for employers. So we might want to put something together like that too, Melanie, for employers. Because your employers cannot, in most free countries, discriminate against you. So some people are so afraid of this, but y'all going to have to decide. Ain't everybody going in the kingdom. Y'all know it, we know it, period. So for everybody that wants, that's why he says, you got to choose whether you're going to follow mammon, money, or Yahuwah. And the funny part about this is Yahuwah said he will provide for you if you follow him. You won't worry about money. And if you are having to worry about money, that's because you're having a faith issue. Everything has principles to it. And so we got to start from the ground up. Call on the name of Yahuwah. Call on his name. Like, be immersed into his name. He gave you then promises. Now you got to decide, is Yahuwah lying or not? When he said, I promise to never leave you nor forsake you. When you read in Matit Yahu, chapter 6, right? Verse 33, seek first the kingdom and its righteousness. What does that mean? Doing what Yahuwah wants you to do. What is right that Yahuwah wants you to do? First, then all these things. What's the things? Here comes the mammon. Here comes the clothes. Here comes the food. Here comes the house. Here comes the all these things that you need. Yahushua, when he was here, he says, your heavenly Father knows you need them. But as long as you're focused on the things, then you don't have the kingdom first. So now the mammon is your Elohim. That's the issue. That's the issue. So you are what we're raising up from Promote the Truth. This is a fact. We're going to be pushing people to homeschool. We're going to be pushing that narrative. Y'all might well put your seatbelts on. We believe that you should be educating your kids at home. If you go back, and Melanie's going to probably do a report on this.
Thank you so much.
She's going to probably do a report on how education became an Elohim. It became a God to people. And so, you know, early days, people weren't sending their kids off to their enemy, to get taught. Like if you send them into the typical public school system, do you the what in that school system honors Yahuwah? Have you stopped and thought about that? Instead of arguing and complaining, what we got to do, what did Yahuwah practically tell Masha when Masha was complaining about Pharaoh, Parara, not letting the children go? Really what Yahuwah is saying is, why are you coming to me complaining about something I gave you the power to change? Hold on. That's a hot way to end this for the day, huh? Why are we going to complain or be worried or be in anxiety about something that Yahuwah gave us the power to change? I'm telling you. So dealing with all this nonsense that the world's trying to throw on us, Yahuwah says you got to resist the devil and then he will flee you. But you can't be inviting the devil in and then saying, man, I wonder why this stuff is happening to me. Exactly. When you put your children in these pagan educational school systems, then you're going to invite the devil in. You're going to invite chaos in your home. So you're going to have to make some decisions on that. Our child is on a pace. He's 8 years old. He's on a pace to graduate college, homeschooling, by the time he's 16.
Yes.
And he don't have to deal with no nonsense. Anything you gonna say about that, Lena?
You know, putting our kids in school is allowing not other teachers and the government to tell the kids what they need to, what they supposed to know, but they're also being influenced by other kids that are not Yahuans. And we all know that, you know, our parents, our grandparents always say, "Where is the bad kid that are making you, you know, stop messing with that or hanging out with that kid that is making you do this other stuff that you don't supposed to do that." So imagine if that was being said to us when we was not Yahuans, at least when I was growing up, and my mom said, "Don't mess with that girl because she's bad." Now that we know the Yahuwah world, we know those kids are not, and it's not, you know, it's not their fault, it's the parents, but because they don't know better. But we have to protect our kids. Yes. That's the generation. That's the teachings we're giving. So throwing them into a school, even if the school allowed you to do your Shabbat, the kids still, for 8 hours or between 6 to 8 hours, it's in the mouth of the lion, on the mouth of the wolf. And you don't know what he's hearing or she's hearing every day and what she have to deal with. And for more instructions that you give to a kid, it's still a kid. That's why you're supposed to be the protector. And you're not there at that school physically to protect that kid and for what they're hearing. And the schools, they're celebrating other pagan holidays, and they're doing different activities. They're not of Yahuwah. So how you're able to control, even when they're being taught history and science and all this kind of stuff, they're teaching the names of the planets. They're teaching them, there are a lot of pagan names in school. So what are we teaching our kids? So that's why it's so important that we start getting that wrap on taking control of our kids. Yes. There was no schools before in back of the days of Yahusha and Masha and all of them.
Melanie?
You're muted.
There I am. You know, I would like everyone to consider a couple of things also, in addition to what Lena just said. What she said was absolutely true. But things that I know that I didn't know when I taught for 42 years are the following things. First of all, here in America, the schools still do what's called the Pledge of Allegiance. Mm. Just think of the first words that come out of that. I pledge allegiance to what? The flag. Who are we supposed to be in allegiance with?
Yahuwah.
And it ends with one nation where?
Under Yahuwah.
Under Yahuwah.
Yeah, but it doesn't say under Yahuwah.
I know.
It says under God. G-O-D. And we don't use that word, right? Yeah. The next thing, let's talk about the months your children are in school. You know, not much in January to decorate, but all elementary schools start in February with doing what?
Decorating.
Decorating for what?
Pagan holidays.
Yeah. In March.
Easter.
Well,
St. Patrick's Day.
Holiday. And so that the whole room is decorated with
green.
Stupid shamrocks.
Shamrocks.
Leprechaun.
April generally starts what?
Easter.
Funny rabbit.
Yeah.
Rabbits and eggs. Imagine
celebrating
that.
All of that. May.
She go to Milo.
Mother's Day.
A share worship.
Yes. June gets
Father's Day.
Nimrod
worship.
You know, July's, you know,
Fourth of July.
Independence Day to God.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right. So you can go on and on, but then you get to October. There's the big day, October.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Everything is that, you know. November is Thanksgiving with the turkeys and all of that stuff.
Lottery.
You know, oh, and then the really big one, December.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Every month your kids are battling. If your kids are Yahuans and they're listening to you at the house that all that's pagan, where are their brains? Their little brains are so confused and they have to battle every hour in the school, every month. And the teachers are not going to change their curriculums just because your kid is Yahuwah.
Right.
They have to. And what happened when there's a kid in the school with a birthday? What your son have to do? Like our son, it just happened in his karate class. There was a kid that was, it was his birthday. And the teacher was like, oh, let's sing the birthday. Our son stepped on the side and he just covered his ears. And that's 1 hour that he goes to karate class. What happened to kids when they're going 6 to 8 hours to classes and have to deal with this? So I think it is very important that we take control of our kids, because you can, if you're talking to your kids 4 hours a day, the school is talking to them 6 hours, 6 to 8 hours.
6 to 8 hours. And here's the next thing. When you mentioned birthdays, most schools allow parents to bring in cupcakes and sodas and party stuff for the last half hour of any birthday that might be going on that day. And they actually, you know, if your kid's there, they don't come to school knowing that there's going to be a birthday party.
Nope.
Because that's not usually mentioned, because, oh, we don't want everyone all excited that we want, you know. So we have a surprise for you. You know, it's 2:30. You know, it is La La La's birthday. And in comes mom with the napkins and the cake and, you know, whatever. And so then your child is stuck, not even knowing. And you didn't know either to come and get them early. So.
The holidays, the birthday things and all that, that's one thing in itself. But we've been hearing a lot about the whole LGBTQ movement and them trying to enforce that and allow
that
to teach children that they can be something that they're not. Like that's, and then the influence of other kids and cell phones. You're 5 years old with a cell phone. Like, we don't agree with that at all.
And the schools are taking the power away from their parents. The schools are taking away the power of the parents.
there is laws now in some school districts, and you know, it's not really law, but they've made it a law that if your child goes to the counselor and says, you know, I'm having these feelings, the counselor is not allowed by law to talk to the parents about what that child has just come to the school, mm-hmm. come to them with. And as far as the LGBTQ RSTV movement that's going on, you know, that's another thing. My grandson sent me a video of what his health teacher showed in class, and it's about how Sam and Julie went into the dressing room and come back out dressed as the opposite sex and all kinds of stuff, and they're allowed to do that because this is me and I am me and I'm allowed to be me. And I watched this like this, and I said, what did you think about that? He said, well, I'm old enough to know that that's not true. I kind of laughed at it, but he was still given
exposed to it.
Right.
It's pay rent. It's not no longer parents. If you're paying rent to rent that child, you have no response. You have no control of that, what the child learning is taught now.
So what we're doing now in wrapping this up is from Promote the Truth. We are tearing it down.
Tear it down.
We're going to send out the call that everyone here, listen. Yahuwah is now speaking to you. You are to protect your children.
Yes, sir.
Thus says Yahuwah, raise the child up in the way they should go, and they will not depart. So we are to protect our children. They don't have no other protection. It is a form of spiritual abuse if you allow your children to willingly and knowingly go somewhere to where they can't protect themselves spiritually, emotionally, socially. So that's a tough message. But that's why so few are going into the kingdom of Yahuwah. Because he says, narrow is that gate that leads to eternal life, and few find it. Y'all catch that part? In order to find it, you got to be looking for it. Mm-hmm. So when you hear the truth, was you looking to hear the truth? Or does that truth rock your boat to where you can't take it? So what we're doing now is we're prepping, coming up for Pesach. Yahuwah's Pesach, where he came and delivered them out of the land of Matsri. So this is the year. As we go into this next new year of Yahuwah, we are challenging everybody in the Promote the Truth community. Come out of her, my people. Stop willingly submitting to Matsri. That's misery, Egypt. What is the first commandment? I delivered you out of that. What? From the house of bondage. Don't willingly walk into slavery. Don't do it. Don't willingly go and let yourself be enslaved and your children, especially when they need you to be strong. And you can do this. You can do it. Yahuwah is absolutely dependable. So Brother David, Bakota, can you lead us out in the prayer as we wrap up this Shabbat gathering? Do you mind, Brother David?
Absolutely.
Let us pray.
Abba Yahuwah, much esteem to your set apart name. We come before you and we thank you for always hearing our prayer. I thank you for the gathering of this family. Thank you for the leadership, Elder J, Sister Lena. Thank you for each and every member here, including their family members, as we call upon your set apart name, Yahuwah. As we come together and we worship you and we get taught kingdom business and the truth that is given out through you, through the Ruach, through Brother Jay, and each and every member here that hears. We just thank you. We just thank you for this protection that you give us.
Yes.
We thank you for the teaching that you give us. Most of all, we thank you for the guidance through your Ruach HaKodesh.
Yes.
As we leave and depart, may you bless each one of our family members they're going to and from this meeting as we sit together in our homes and we ponder and we meditate on this word and this teaching. Pour out your holy, pour out your Ruach HaKodesh upon us as you bless this gathering.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah!
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 On the count of three, everybody open up your mics. We're going to say hallelujah on the count of three. Hallelujah. Y'all ready? One, two, three, let's go!
Hallelujah!
We love y'all. We see you.